Pirates versus Tyrants. This is the Tom Wren Show, where we practice piracy on the enemies of freedom and liberty.
Hello, 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 and welcome, folks. All right, so let's just get started with this. Let's get started with fear. Fear is a predominant problem throughout America today. Fear is probably one of the most root or core problems we face. This is why I promote toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity is about bravery, courage, all those values that they try and say are bad by calling them toxically masculine. Well, those are the values we need, because those are the values that stand against fear, right? When we talk about courage, when we talk about bravery, when we talk about the willingness to stand up in the face of adversity, those are traditionally viewed as toxically masculine type things, and they're also things I like. But fear is a crisis. It's a serious issue, and let me explain why. Fear is the reason that Americans are allowing the things to happen that are happening. And we've heard that there's a quote that I'm going to mangle here a little bit. You know, if you would trade your freedom for your security, you will end up with neither. Well, the reason that that quote is applicable is because that is exactly what we've done. Fear is the reason that the COVID narrative worked. We were afraid of dying from this terrible disease. Fear is what's happening with the FBI targeting the Catholic Church. Oh, those are terrorists. We have national security issues. We've got to keep the people safe. Fear is the reason we passed the Patriot Act. Got to stop those evil Islamic people from blowing up our buildings. That was the logic. I mean, let's not play games with it. In each of these instances, we wrongly traded our freedom because we were afraid. I'll admit, I was in Washington, D.C. on 9/11. When I was not too far from the Pentagon. I could see it from my hotel. I could see the smoke rising, and I could see, you know, that this had happened. Interestingly enough, and this is something that I don't know, I would, to this day, have never found out. For anybody that was in Washington, D.C. that day, and I'm going to delve into conspiracy theory. I'm on a Tom tirade. You're going to have to forgive me, folks. Sometimes, if you work with me and if you listen to me long enough, you'll know occasionally I just go off point and I throw on something else. Now, I'm going to come back to fear, but I want to throw this out just because I think this will cause some trouble. So I'm going to talk about it. So on 9/11, after the Pentagon was struck, there was another massive, massive explosion from another part of Washington. I know because I was there. I was physically in D.C. We had stayed at, I believe, the Lowe's L'Enfant Plaza. And I was listening to talk radio, listening to news, trying to find out what was happening. I mean, we'd had the buildings hit, all these different things happen. And, you know, there's secondary explosions that happen everywhere, and we know that. But this was something else, and it was from a different place, and it was a huge explosion. And I've never to this day found out what it was. I'm curious, and if anybody knows, I would love to know. But it was really interesting. I was literally listening to some talk radio guy talk about this. And then you could tell when the government guys got in there, right? Because this guy's talking, he's like, you know, we've got reports of this other explosion. And, you know, the reports are that there was a bomb in the subway or a bomb here or a bomb there. And this was separate from the Pentagon. It was a different location. You could tell. I mean, you can, when things are blowing up, you can kind of tell what direction it's coming from, right? And so this was being talked about on the news and the radio, and everybody was literally talking about this at the time. And including people there, because, you know, we went down to the lobby, hotel lobby, talking to people in the street. What the hell's going on here? And people are talking about, what was that other explosion? Where was that? What got hit? And nobody was ever able to explain to me what it was. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I just know I heard a second explosion and everybody was talking about it. And the guy on the radio was talking about it. Then all of a sudden, literally mid-sentence, the radio went dead air. That doesn't happen. And then the guy, when it came back up, like, you know, I don't know, 30 seconds later, I don't remember how long, it comes back up. And this guy had been intently talking about the secondary explosion. You know, was it a subway bomb? What was it? Then this guy just immediately says, and now let's listen to this music, and moves on to something totally different. And there was, I've never heard another word about the explosion on September 11th, 2001 in Washington, D.C. I'd be very curious. I don't, you know, I mean, anybody actually knows what this is or what happened, I'd be curious to know. Like I said, it's never been addressed. It was definitely from a different part, a different location, and I'm just curious what it was. I actually had no intention of getting into this story on this show. And, you know, I don't know. I'm sure I'll have some people wearing black glasses show up at my door in the coming days, tell me I'm not supposed to talk about these things. But I'm not trying to be conspiracy theory. I'm not saying that the, you know, 9/11 was staged. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I mean, I don't know or care. I mean, I was there. I saw the buildings burning. Yes, the Pentagon got hit, but something blew up, right? I don't know what it was, but something blew up. And I've heard all the conspiracy theories, but I've never really investigated them. I don't know. And I don't know about this. I just know that I was physically there. Something blew up, and I don't know what it was. So anyways, that's that. But we're talking about fear, right? And fear has motivated us to give up freedoms over and over and over again. And what prompted me to talk about this is I was looking at this just horrific nonsense that's going on. And I looked, and I've got some stories. I'm going to talk about teachers being fired for not being on board with transgenderism. I'm going to talk about some different things. And really, one of the big things is this FBI targeting Catholics, right? So the FBI is targeting Catholics. Why are they targeting Catholics? Well, because they claim that Catholics are hate groups and they could be violence and security. We've got to target. Not that they've done anything wrong. They have no evidence that there's anything wrong. They're investigating to see if they're doing anything wrong, which is completely illegal, right? There are a lot of crimes to investigate, but in this country, you can't be investigated unless you're doing something wrong. Unless there's been, that you hate somebody is not a crime, right? There's a lot of people. I mean, if you can invest for disliking people, I'm in trouble. You know, I really dislike everybody from Biden on down. Almost universally, if you live in Washington, D.C., there's like four people that I like. You know, so, I mean, there's a, if you get investigated because you dislike someone or, you know, oh, you're a hate group, so what? You have every right to hate somebody in this country. That's not a crime. I mean, you can't conspire to commit a crime and then take actionable steps. But, you know, you can pretty much say and do what you want to do. You don't have to like each other. But there's no rule in this country that we got to like each other or be kind to each other. FBI doesn't have any right to enforce being nice to each other, nor do they have the right to investigate anybody. But they stage it, they position it by saying these Catholic hate groups. And why are they hateful? Well, they're hateful because the SPLC calls them a hate group, the Southern Poverty Law Center. The Southern Poverty Law Center is an entirely discredited joke. Some buffoon leftist decided to create this entity and decided that he was going to be the arbiter of who is hateful and who is not. And if he thinks you're hateful, then you're a hate group. I don't know what else to say about it. The SPLC is an absolute joke. And not only are they a joke, but they were even, the letter that was put out by the state AGs regarding this FBI targeting of Catholics specifically states, quote, the memorandum's reliance on the SPLC is particularly disappointing, given that the SPLC has been utterly discredited as a reliable source. Its founder is said to have viewed civil rights work mainly as a marketing tool for bilking gullible northern liberals, and former staffers have confessed that the SPLC has been ripping off its donors by failing to live up to the values it espoused. That's a direct quote from the letter. The SPLC is a liberal hit group joke. They're not a reliable source for anything. It's kind of like looking, actually, you'd be better off looking at the National Enquirer. I think that would be better, because at least they want to sell papers, so they try and tell interesting stories. Anyways, but they had to position the Catholics as being evil hate groups, which is super scary. I mean, I know I'm scared about people that hate me. No, I'm not. Okay, I don't actually care. I literally care zero. In fact, I have a meeting I have to go to with, it's a personal meeting with some people that I know locally coming up. And my wife asked me if I might be concerned about them, you know, disliking me, or that they might get mad or whatever. I'm like, dear, literally half the planet hates my guts. I don't care. What I'm going to offend somebody? I offend people for a living. My existence offends people, because, and the reason is not because I try to be offensive. I don't. I actually don't want to offend anybody. I want people to be happy and live good lives. But you see, for the left, unless you adopt their sick, perverse, and disturbed ideologies, they hate you. And I'm not going to. I'm also not going to tell the left that their ideas are okay. They're not. They're just simply not. You know, when you tell me that you want to mutilate the gender of a 9-year-old boy because he wants to pretend to be a 9-year-old girl, or put him on puberty blockers or whatever, this is just sick. I'm sorry, it's perverse. I'm not going to tell you that's okay. I'm not going to accept your life decisions. You're abusing a child. Not okay with that one, right? So you got to understand that these guys, we're going to investigate them because they're a hate group? Well, I mean, you can investigate anybody. Everybody hates somebody. I mean, you know, you're not supposed to hate, but I mean, okay, immensely dislike, despise, disdain, utter contempt for your existence. I don't know. Call it what you want to call it. There's a lot of people I don't like. You're going to investigate me for that? There is no law protecting you from being disliked. But without any real, reliable, or legitimate legal basis for doing so, the FBI decided these are quote-unquote hate groups, and that that's enough for them to start getting sources and investigate what's going on there. So they're initiating an investigation based on what? What legal basis is there? I mean, did they observe someone speeding and they wanted to pull them over? So I want you to understand this from my perspective as an attorney. Law enforcement can't just investigate you. They've got to have a good faith basis for doing so. I mean, there's got to be some indication that you're doing something wrong. And hating people is not something wrong. I don't care if someone starts the Church of I Hate Leftists. That's not illegal. That's not. I mean, we do have the Church of Satan in this country. They're not investigated. And the Church of Satan, I mean, Satan hates all Christians and hates God. Should they be investigated? There is no crime. There's no legal issue with hating someone. That's not a basis. But what it comes back to is what we started with, fear. Ooh, they're hateful. What if they do something scary or bad? Well, then you can investigate them. Once they've broken a law, you can investigate them. But we're free to do what we want until such time as we've broken a law, right? The law is not preemptive. One of the sacrifices that we've made in this country to allow for freedom is a certain level of security. You can't have complete security and freedom. Complete security means you've given up all freedom. You have no freedom. The more secure you are, the less freedom you have, right? So if I go outside and I'm dinking around outside, I live across from a very big park and a presidential library. And we actually, I would say a month or so ago, there was a bad windstorm. Someone was walking their dog in that park and a tree blew over and fell on them and killed their dog and seriously injured the person. They're just walking their dog. If you want to be secure, well, you'd have to live in a steel box. And even then, you're not secure. The level of security that you have is always going to be based on the amount of freedoms you're willing to give up, right? I'm more secure if I don't jump out of an airplane. But it might be exciting to put on a parachute and jump out of an airplane. So it's a balance, but it's a decision that each of us makes. And it's a decision that we have the inherent right. It's an inalienable right. It is the core of free will to make decisions about what we want to do and to make our own decision about what sort of security we're comfortable with. If I want to be very safe, you know, if I want to keep my kid away from other kids who might, you know, I don't know, do something mean to them or whatever, well, that's my business. And it's my decision to make. It's not criminal. And it's not criminal to hate someone. Now, if I act on that hate, if I go, you know, if I was to go out and become violent or something like that, that's criminal. But it's not criminal to hate. Lots more on this. But for right now, I want to tell you to get yourself some Cofix. Cofix cleans your sinuses. You wash your sinuses. You wash, you know, you get a cold, you get something like, you wash your hands when your hands are germy. So why not wash your sinuses? It makes sense. And it works. I'm a user. I believe in it. It actually works. You use Out Loud code at checkout when you're buying it. You get a discount. You support our network. And it's a good thing. It's a winner for all. You want to click on the banner ad, do, you know, get there, but get yourself some and keep it on hand. So what I do is I keep it on hand. Like I don't, right now, I feel perfectly great. I don't need to use it. But as soon as I feel a cold coming on, it gets in my head, I'm going to use that. So use Out Loud code at checkout. Keep some on hand and get yourself some Cofix. We will be right back with an awful lot more show.
We know you love the versatility and portability of the Genesis Fogger, but sometimes you just want to set it and forget it. Well, we heard you. Introducing the UX4 HOCL Atomizer. This stationary unit quietly protects you and is perfect for smaller spaces. With over 250,000 units sold in Japan, it's now available in the United States. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see the UX4 in action and receive a 15% discount on either Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Okay, welcome back, everybody. So, listen, we're talking about hate and fear and all these sorts of things. See, the reason that you have to label people, the reason that, and part of it is to divide people, but when the left is labeling conservatives and this and that and other patriots, people who are pro-America, all these horrible things like hate group, you know, those words, they have power, they have meaning. And part of the intent is to make that group, you know, really yucky. You don't want to be near them. But part of it is really about creating that fear. Well, I don't want to be one of those. And also fear on another level, right? There's another type of fear that's occurring. That is the fear of judgment, of others, judgment by others, right? And this is one of the most fundamental issues we face in America right now. There are two things that have facilitated the destruction of our freedom more than anything else. One is fear in terms of safety, and two is fear in terms of social acceptance. How many times do you not say something in public or in a public setting because you don't want to upset someone? It's just not worth fighting over. It's just not worth this. It's just not worth that. You might offend someone. My wife's going to yell at me if I start another fight. I can't argue with this guy. I'll upset my wife. I don't want to argue with that guy. I might lose a client. I don't want to argue it. I don't want to say this in business. I might lose some clients. I don't want to stand for God or for family or for country. Those are controversial. God's very controversial. I don't want to talk about God. I love America, but I don't want to say that because that might really upset people. The flag, the national anthem, I don't like that people are burning it or making fun of it. But I don't really want to say anything. So if I say anything about it, well, that's going to be a real issue because I could offend people. And if I offend people, I mean, that's just no good, right? All of that is fear. That's fear. You just don't want to fight, or you're afraid that you're going to lose what you have. Now, I, as a Christian, I'll say, you know, there seems to be something in that book that I like that, says something about, you know, if you fear losing things, they're already gone. You know, it's the fear of holding on to the things that we have here in this planet that causes a lot of problems. I'm not quoting, I'm talking about some ideology in there, right? But whether it's fear of losing money, fear of losing stuff, or more importantly, fear of being judged by your friends, your families. You know how many people I know that have peer groups and they say, well, they're all very left and I can't say anything there. So I just never say anything because I don't want to upset all my friends. Well, let me ask you a question. How many of your friends in that same peer group feel the same way? How many of them are fake liberals so that they can get along, go along to get along? More importantly, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Look at the country we have. Look at the disaster we have. Our country is failing because people don't stand for anything. They don't have the courage to say no. The FBI targeted Catholics because they knew they could scare people into doing so, and they want to demonize traditional Catholics because traditional Catholics believe that LGBTQ is wrong. I'm a Catholic. The book is quite clear. Okay, the book is quite clear. Now, let me tell you what else it's clear about. I don't hate anybody because of their sexual orientation. I don't care what you do. It's between you and God. The book's very clear that it's not my spot to judge you, so I don't. The book's also equally clear about what's right and what's wrong. You want to know something that I find really interesting? And this is a common thing. So we see people judging people based on their sin. So you're gay, you're a sinner. How frequently is it that you find that the person who's saying you're gay, you're a sinner is just as big of a sinner? Maybe they're an adulterer. At the end of the day, to my mind, we all sin, and we all sin a lot. I do my best not to. I try hard not to. But I know that there is no one, and I've met some amazing people, right? So I've met some really, really good people who have just incredible relationships with God, who I look up to in so many ways. I mean, what a privilege. What a privilege to meet some of these people that are out there that have just these relationships with God that I don't even know, I can't even fathom. Now, I try to do that. I do. I aspire to that. But I mean, I look up to these people. I admire them. I also know that every single one of them sins. Every single one of them. And if you're judging other people, you're sinning. Now, you can judge their actions. In fact, we have an obligation as Christians to judge actions because we don't want to commit sins. We don't want to do what's wrong, but we can never judge the people. These traditional Catholic beliefs that say that there are certain actions that are wrong, they are what they are. And you have a First Amendment right. This nation was founded. The pilgrims came here to escape religious persecution. Our nation was based from beginning on religious freedom. For the Federal Bureau of Investigation, a branch of the Department of Justice, to so egregiously and flagrantly violate the First Amendment is terrifying. Terrifying. What's worse, though, is that it's all been done through fear. What's worse is that we, the people, are too afraid to speak up. The conversation that I just had, where I talked about my respect and love for everybody, regardless of race, creed, gender, sexual orientation, or whatever, that's part of my religious belief. But, because that's what Jesus taught. But, please don't tell me that I can't judge actions. Jesus gave me a very clear manual on which actions he viewed to be right and which he viewed to be wrong. And he empowered me with an obligation to recognize that there is right, there is wrong, and that that is what I need to look at so that I don't make those mistakes. And I should encourage my brother and sisters in a positive way to try not to refrain from sin, which is hard to do because I'm a hypocrite most of the time. I'm terrible. But I should encourage them by living a good life, not by being mean or rude or judgmental or horrible. Just by saying, you know, I do a good life. I do my way. I try and encourage you. If you ask me, I'll share what I think. But I support you being a happy human being who's living your life and doing your thing. Just try and do it God's way. And, you know, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's between you and him. Well, so this is foundational to our law, but people won't say that. They won't talk about that because you might offend somebody. They might label me as this phobic or that phobic or, you know, anti this or anti. I don't care. You can call me whatever you want. I don't hate anybody because it's against my religion to hate you. Although I do epically disdain some people. And by the way, I am a sinner, so I probably failed a few times on not hating people. There's a handful of murderers and people out there that I'd love to pretend that I don't have any hate, but I am a sinner. I do fail on that one. And there's some that I'd really like to beat into a living pulp. That's another story. I don't want to digress. There's that toxic masculinity again, folks. I don't know. I can't help it. I mean, you know, I went to the gym, which according to Arizona State University's black male privilege stuff taken in conjunction with the very wise woman that we talked about many, many shows ago, who said that working out is racist. Obviously, that makes me a racist. My toxic masculinity, I mean, I leverage that every time I go to the gym, I think. I don't know. I'm a horrible monster. But anyways, that aside, I'm a horrible monster that believes in freedom and believes in our First Amendment, and that is being wiped out. At the end of the day, the state cannot interfere with religion. It's just that simple. And the way that they're doing it is the same way that they've done this with COVID. That's the reason we gave them the Patriot Act. We keep giving up our freedom for fear, and we need to take it back. And that will only happen if we have some courage. And I will tell you, I'd love to see the Patriot Act repealed. I'll bet you that if we repeal the Patriot Act within a couple of years of doing so, you'd see some sort of a major terrorist attack so that they could say, see, we need this. We got to have it. These people are monsters. These people do not like freedom, and they will do whatever it takes to take that freedom from you, including ignoring our First Amendment. So not only do we have the attack on Catholics, but we also have another major attack, right? We have attacks, a larger attack on religion generally. What? Yeah, yeah. And it's a cultural attack, right? So we not only have our legal attack, but we also have our cultural attack. The cultural attack is one that's occurring in things like this. So LifeSite News, LifeSite News, every now and then, they used to publish and do a lot of work. I used to do a bunch of work with them. I think they got a little bit nervous because I'm pretty blunt about how big a piece of garbage I think the Pope is. And they're a Catholic site, and I'm Catholic. I appreciate my Catholic faith, but they are absolutely, I don't think they're pro-Pope. They're a good group. I like these guys a lot. I haven't talked to them for a while. I hope they haven't gone out. But like I said, last couple times I tried to get them to do something, they were a little bit nervous. And I think it may just be their audience, or I don't know, but yeah, the Pope's a piece of garbage. If they don't want to, I don't care who likes that. He just is. He's not my Pope, and I am Catholic, and I still refuse to recognize him. But LifeSite has a great story, and I do like LifeSite. Christian teacher fired for refusing to hide gender transitions from parents. Do you know that this is happening, folks? Okay, so I saw this, and I was thinking about this in terms of the attacks on the Catholic Church and in terms of the fear, right? You can't speak out. You know, you don't like gender transition in children? You're transphobic. Okay, let me be real clear here and unequivocal in this. Because I'm not afraid. I don't care if you like me. If you do that to a child, you're a pervert and you're committing child abuse. I'm sorry, but no child has the capacity to make those decisions. There's just no way. You're 50 years old. You've lived your life. You've decided that you want to do something like that. You know, I can't get behind it, but I can tell you that it's your right. You tell me you're going to do that to a 12-year-old boy? You tell me you're going to give a 7, 8-year-old puberty blockers? You're committing child abuse. That's child abuse. That child does not know anything about who they're going to be. And the idea that you're going to tell them they do, what you have is you've got a child who is probably confused by stupid liberal parents who don't understand what it means to be a boy or a girl. The number of people who had any sort of real legitimate medical transgender issues up until they started promoting it everywhere was none. I mean, it's just not a thing, right? It is like there's very, very few. I was pushing this for like 4 people in the universe. But now that it's become a major, major source of, it's a pop culture phenom. I mean, we've got all of these millions and millions of dollars being spent for online support sites for any kid that wants to get their adidectomy surgery or a weenie removal. This is something that's becoming pop culture. And what's worse is a lot of schools have gotten federal money, and a condition of getting that federal money is that their teachers have to be on board with this. The other thing that's the other part of that is that then what these schools do is they know that the parents are going to be furious. Parents don't like this. Teachers get threatened. You will be fired if you talk about this. If you share what's going on here to the public, you're going to get fired and you may be violating a criminal law, they say. It's a long story. The law on this is fairly complex. But they do all this. They scare these teachers into silence. And, you know, what about these teachers? What about these teachers? You know, in this story, they talk about this particular lady, a teacher, a California teacher, who was tenured because she didn't like this gender garbage and child abuse, she got fired. It is her religious right to disagree with that. She does not have to teach that. It's irrelevant to teaching our children anything in school. There's nothing relevant about teaching. This is a social issue unrelated to child's academics, unrelated to education. And honestly, what we're doing is we're teaching kids that they're to do something that's going to create lifelong health issues. It's a negative thing. If you have true gender dysphoria, that is a bad thing, because even if you transition, you're going to have lifelong health issues. We don't want to encourage this. It's a bad idea. But we have to be inclusive, Tom. Tom, we got to be inclusive. The word inclusive drives me up a wall. I'm going to include you in a group of lunatics that I don't want to listen to. There, you can be included in that. We don't have to be inclusive, and we don't have to tolerate bad behavior. We have to have the courage to ignore it or to disagree with it better. We have to speak out. We have to have the courage to call bad behavior what it is. This is about courage. They're using the laws, they're using fear, they're using everything to convince you to be too afraid to speak out. I want you to tell me that you believe it's okay for a little boy who's 7 years old to take permanently disabling, gender-blocking, puberty-blocking drugs that are going to screw them up for life. I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. They couldn't make those decisions. They're not capable. Anybody who tells me otherwise is either not a parent or a liar. I need you to buy a Genesis HOCL so that you can keep your family safe and healthy. Speaking of fear, right? You should fear the germs. You don't have to fear the germs, but there's no reason to spread them, right? Genesis HOCL, an atomizer, kills the germs in the air so that you don't spread them to your family. I have no fear of germs anymore than I fear. The only thing I fear is God. But this is a great product, and it keeps you from being sick, which means that you can cause more trouble because you spend less time being sick. Get it. Use the Out Loud code at checkout. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a big discount, and we'll appreciate it. Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Well, the Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all 4 stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
Okay, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. You know, we've talked about this whole faith over fear thing. And the fact that fear has really been used to justify all sorts of constitutional violations, legal violations, and this is, it's really the basis we have seen for a lot of stuff, whether it's social manipulation or legal manipulation. It's really, fear is our enemy, folks. You've got to have courage. And I want to, before I completely leave this faith over fear thing, I want to offer for anybody listening, and listen, you know, for anybody that listens, I hope you find Christ. If you don't, I still love you. But I have no problems with what I believe in, so I have no problems talking about it. To that extent, I'm going to offer a bit of Christian perspective. I think this probably applies for some of the other major faiths, some of the other Abrahamic faiths. But, you know, you can decide that for yourself if you're one of my Jewish brothers or sisters or Islamic brothers and sisters who are, you know, anybody who's in this country and supporting freedom, you're on my side. If you believe in God, if you believe in a creator God, and you believe that he's a loving God that has your back, you believe that if you do right, he cares what happens to you. There's a couple things that that connotates, right? One is that if God created the entirety of the universe and he's this omnipotent form of consciousness that knows and can do anything, right? Then he can find ways to have your back, whether you know he's doing it or not. You can call that good luck. You can call it good fortune. You can call it intervention. I don't care. You also know that if you are a believer in God, and I think this does apply to any of the major religions, you know, part of God, the concept of God, is that when you die, you can move on to a better place if you live in line with his teachings, right? You're a good person, you go to heaven. If you're not, well, maybe not, right? And heaven has different forms and different religions, but all the religions pretty much have this same common theme where if you do right on this planet, when you die, you go to a better place. So let me offer this thought when you're considering faith over fear. When you're considering whether your business should stand for what's right or what's easy. When you're considering whether to say what you think at the next cocktail party or around the campfire with beer, if you're, you know, more in my universe. Although I'll be honest, the guys who sit in their pickup trucks around campfires drinking beer are typically people who I don't have to argue with too much, nor do I have to explain to them about faith. If you are a believer in that God and you believe that you can go to heaven by doing right, then you don't have to be afraid, right? He's got your back. He can do anything, so he can make your life easier if he thinks that's best. But at the end of the day, if you're doing the right thing, you go to heaven. That means you got nothing to be afraid of, even death. This is why I say I don't care if I die on this hill. At the end of the day, I'm going to go hang out with the big man. At least that's my belief. I hope I cross that finish line. I tried hard. And thanks to Jesus, you know, I think I got a shot. I don't care. I don't have fear. I don't need to have fear. I don't fear the FBI calling me a domestic terrorist because I hate people. I don't care. I don't care if they sue me. I don't care if they come after me. I'll sue you back and I'll fight back and it's going to be ugly. And if I go down, I'm going down swinging. So don't be afraid, folks. Don't be afraid. You know, if you're listening to this show, then you know that I've developed, God's been very good to me. I'm nobody from Ohio and I got a platform now. It wasn't because I was afraid. I didn't develop it because I was afraid. I developed it because I don't care. I'm fighting. You need to be fearless, folks. You need to be fearless. Only when we conquer fear can we have freedom. When these people were wandering around with their COVID masks, afraid of this disease, I was mad when I had to get on an airplane and wear one. Boy, was I mad. That's an airplane. Everybody's going to get it. So what? Masks are stupid, and I'm not afraid of a germ. I'm not. My father-in-law died of COVID. God bless his soul. I loved him like my own father. And he was one of the most amazing men I've known in my life. A true role model, someone that I was honored to have in my life. That man was an amazing man. God rest his soul. He was getting older when COVID hit. And we asked, did he want us to keep the kids away? And he said, hell no. Hell no. I live my life. I don't need them to protect me. And what have I got to live for if I can't be around my grandkids? That's courage. I respect my father-in-law more than almost anybody that I can't wait to see him again. I hope he knew how much I loved him and appreciated him. But he had courage. And I think it's lost on most of us. Well, you got to protect grandma. Why do the kids got to protect grandma? I'm 46. I can see myself getting to that position in not that many years. I will never ask a child to give up their life, to take a vaccine, to do this, to do that, to protect me. I've lived my life at that point. That is a cowardly and pitiful way to be. And I pity the people who are there. If you live in fear, you're not living. There is no freedom when you live in fear. So I just want to make sure that I put that out there and let everybody kind of challenge themselves with those thoughts. Because right now, to win our freedom back, the number one thing we have to have is the courage to stand up and speak out. Why is this so important in practical terms? Like, I know I'm waxing philosophical here today. But this is important in practical terms because I keep getting, what can I do? What can I do? I swear to God, I get, hey, I wish I could fight back, but I don't know what I can do, at least 10 million times a day. And I have been getting it forever. And I keep telling people, anything. Do you speak up? Do you speak out? What are you saying? What are you doing? Are you running for anything? Are you volunteering? Are you at least on social media calling out these buffoons for what they are? Buffoons. What are you doing? All you've got to do is have some courage to speak up, and that'll count. And if, guess what, folks? Guess what? If 100 million people speak out, this goes away. That's all it takes. But you got to have the courage to speak out. You got to quit self-censoring. You got to quit being afraid. Legislation passes if we have enough pressure. If 200 million Americans speak out in unison on one issue, guess what? Legislation passes. Even in this corrupt, nonsensical Washington, D.C. that we have, if enough people speak out, it will happen. That's why General Flynn, the reawakening tour. That's why I go speak. That's why I'm doing this show. The courts, they've already proven that. I mean, look at Carrie Lake. Look at this garbage court in Arizona. Look what they're doing. You know, they can get away with stuff. They will. But all tyrants fear we the people. They fear freedom. So we got to have that courage. And that's what I'm trying to spread. And if you find that courage, we win. That's why I got TomRens.com. That's why I do the media. That's why I do the Substack. That's why I do all of these things. I hated the idea of anybody knowing who I am. I never wanted to be a public figure. I always hated it. I used to make fun of people who wanted to be famous. Why the hell would you want that? Well, God wanted me to do this, and he wanted me to give up my anonymity, so, you know, whatever. And the cork's out of the bottle, so we're going to do everything we can. So I hope you're sharing the show now, right? I can't be a non-public figure now. I can't make that go away. I don't know how to put that cork back in the bottle. So if we're going to do it, we're going to do it well. This is what God asked us to do, so we're going to do it well. I feared that. And here I am. We cannot let fear be our enemy. So stand with me, folks. Help me get the word out. Help me share. Share this network. Share TomRens.com. Share everything. Unintentional shameless plug. Wasn't planning that one. But anyways, so moving on, because there's a couple other really, really important things to talk about. And I got to tell you, I've been very excited this whole show to talk about this story. This story makes me as happy as can be. It's hard to be happy about someone being assaulted. But I'm going to be real honest with you. I've said before, not a perfect Christian. I'm so excited this person got assaulted. I'm so happy. I mean, they're okay. So they're going to survive. They're going to survive. It's all fine. But I'm so glad that they did. I hope it scared the hell out of them. Quote, headline, Democrat lawmaker with ties to defund the police movement calls for crackdown on crime following assault. Oh, so rich, folks. So rich. God, I'm happy about this. So this Democrat Congresswoman, Angie Craig, Democrat, wizened, compassionate Democrat, has been a very, very, very big supporter of defund the police. One of her top staffers has even called for property destruction, according to this story from Fox News. So it's not exactly a right-wing journalist outlet. One of staffers even spoke out for against police, called for property destruction on her Twitter. Property destruction. So burn it. Burn it all down. Young said with regards to one of the deaths that were reported at the hands of police, apparently. It doesn't matter. Defund the police. So Congresswoman Angie Craig is all in favor of defunding the police. Well, we need to fund counselors, not cops, according to her staffer. And, she's been involved with this whole thing. So this buffoon, quote, I got attacked by someone who the District of Columbia has not prosecuted fully over the course of almost a decade, over the course of 12 assaults before mine that morning. Seriously, folks. How awesome is it that she got assaulted? I wouldn't ask for any, I don't wish it on anybody, but there's just something wonderful about the fact that this defund the police buffoon got assaulted. Why? Maybe they need to defund the Washington police. I think what she should have done was tell the guy that was assaulting her that he needs counseling, and you understand his difficult background, and you should reach out. I think she's definitely Democrat Congresswoman Angie Craig is definitely not showing any sort of compassion here. She thinks this guy should be prosecuted and in jail. I mean, she even rants, quote, I mean, it wasn't in every instance that he got 10 or 30 days. Many times charges were dropped completely before any justice was achieved at all. Quote, if you throw somebody in jail for 10 days and think there's your punishment, we're going to let you right back out on the street. What the hell do you think is going to happen? Well, I don't know, Congresswoman Craig. What do you think is going to happen? What do you think is going to happen if you don't put them in jail and just ask them to go to counseling? What do you think is going to happen there? And by the way, if you defund the police, Congresswoman Craig, it'll be interesting to see how he gets to jail. Did the police arrest him after you were assaulted? Or did you just, ask his counselor to counsel him to jail? What did you do, Democrat Congresswoman Angie Craig? What did you do? Did you call the police? I don't know. I think this is a good question. I think we really need to look into this. I mean, apparently she's for prosecution, but against the police. I don't know. Maybe that's what it is. But I'm not sure how he got to jail after the horrible assault that she endured. I know. Listen, there's going to be a poo storm over this because I'm saying I'm glad she got assaulted. I don't care. I don't care. I'm just going to tell you, this woman doesn't like police. She wants to get them off the street. She doesn't care that your store is getting burned down. She's got someone working for her who is rooting for people to burn your store down, rooting for, you know, all sorts of things. But she's going to defund the police. You know, the same police that oh, wait, it's not the same police that stopped the horrible January 6th nightmare, is it? Those are the Capitol Police. Those are the special police for the special people like Congresswoman Craig. I don't think she's asking to defund them. Just the police that protect your store, that protect your family from being assaulted like she was. I'm sorry, Congresswoman Craig, but you're a hypocrite. Your positions, your policies are the reason that you were assaulted. The people that you support are the reason you were assaulted. You don't want to be a nation of law and order. You want to support criminals acting like animals. Do you believe in accountability or not? The purpose of the justice system is in part deterrence. Apparently you didn't know that. Sorry, anybody has to be assaulted. But if anybody deserves it, it's probably this buffoon. Anyways, okay, one last little thing. Did we see that the WHO abandons plans for a COVID origin investigation, right? They abandon plans for COVID origins investigation because it's hard to conduct crucial studies in China. Or maybe it's just that, you know, Dr. Andrew Huff and, you know, some guy named Ren, some nobody, we've already put out everything. We know what's happening. By the way, I'm suing their butts over this. So, you know, I don't think a COVID origin investigation is really all that necessary. We already know what happened. Peter Daszak, Ralph Baric, and EcoHealth Alliance created this with funding from Anthony Fauci, the Department of Defense, and in conjunction with China, in a Chinese bioweapons lab that was ultimately controlled by the CCP. That's what happened, folks. Okay, WHO, no need for an investigation. Just send everybody to TomRenz.com. We'll tell them what happened. Send them to Tom Renz. In fact, you guys, everybody, just share TomRenz.com, share my Substack, support my Give, Send, Go. We do need your help. Go to bh-pm.com, buy yourself some gold. Go to MyPillow, buy yourself some pillows. Tell them that I sent you in both cases. Yeah, just go there. We got it. I don't need the UN to investigate. I don't need the WHO. I just tell you the truth myself. It's the only way you're actually going to get any truth, and your only way place you're going to find anyone with the courage to speak about it, because I'm toxic masculine. All right. I've had fun. I will talk to you all tomorrow.